Tired of all the fake news in the sports world?
He read an article.
I read it too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Don't believe everything you hear on the radio.
That's where we come in, to give you the truth in sports. We are The Roar, where every day is game day.
We welcome you back in, everybody. Facts on Sports with Facts and Childress and John Hite continues right here on 105.5/97.5 The Roar. Let's get Jason and Columbia in here very shortly. Jason, I'll let you wrap things up here. Didn't want to cut you off too harshly before the break. Then we're heading to Michelle and Maria on the phone lines. But anything else to add after what felt like Super Bowl Sunday, Jason, yesterday?
No, I appreciate it, guys. Hey, I'll be brief. We'll get some other folks on here. Yeah, you brought me into team spirit again, man. Oh, all the feels. Look, man, I just wanted to applaud the Clemson physicality that we saw on display. I told you that was the one thing I took umbrage with one of the callers last week. Clemson's not soft, okay? We might drop the ball. We might have some untimely fumbles, stuff like that. And how about the Cade Klubnik experience, man, on that touchdown play? I don't know if you've seen any of the angles from the stadium, and I think maybe Grayson might have put something out there, but you can actually see the South Carolina student section jump up when he fumbles and then immediately put their hands back down and go quiet as he runs for the pylon. You know, props to Cade. And like you said, that pregame fit, just awesome, dude. I mean, my man was like the Undertaker from out west down in Texas. That was beautiful, all black everything. But listen, I'll leave you with a final pretty cool stat here, and it's something that Larry Williams actually pointed out. If you go back the last four games in Columbia that we've played there, South Carolina's offense has reached the end zone four times. Clemson's defense has reached the end zone three times. And wow. One of those times that South Carolina's offense reached, they were down 34-0, Mr. Jake Bentley never again in the 2017 game. So what a stat for Clemson's defense during this run. I just thoroughly enjoyed myself, fellas. And you know what? We can talk about other stuff to come, but one thing we know, it's going to be a great year in the Palmetto State.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you, Jason. Thanks for getting in, as always. And get back in this week, brother. We got more to discuss with your Niners and more.
Yeah, thanks, fellas. Have a day, man.
Thank you, Jason. 654-ROAR is the number if you want to check in. Another stat, and whoever got in on the text line, I saw this. Sorry, it's been a bombardment on the text line today. I want to give you your accurate credit. Somebody got in on the text line earlier, so if you're still listening, get back in and copy-paste the text again and said that, I want to say since 2013, South Carolina has not led in Columbia. How is that even possible? We're talking about a decade where you haven't had the lead in a rivalry matchup in your own building? Oof.
That's accurate, yes.
Oof. That is that's rough to stomach if you're a Gamecock fan. Let's get Michelle and Pickens in here, then we're going to Maria and Anderson. Michelle, thank you for the phone call. Hope you had a great weekend.
Oh, yeah, I did. Go Tigers. But I did want to comment on the victim, the Lane Kiffin deal.
Oh, yes.
And your co-host was talking about the opportunity and what was he supposed to do. The victim I'm tired of hearing about is Ole Miss and Oxford. Listen, guys, what did Lane do up there but bring them back into football relevancy? They were nothing.
That's a good point.
In the modern era. The greatest point about football there before him was if my outfit matched the football player's shirts. And that's true if you've ever been there. Now, number two, what did they expect him to do? Do you really expect Lane Kiffin to retire in Oxford, sit on a bench in the square? No. What he did was a good thing for that school, the best they've had in the modern era. He brought relevancy back. He brought fun football. His players loved him. He, you know, and he ran a reputable program up there. Dude, who wouldn't want to go to a football school in the SEC, which they're not? And, you know, it's just, and the other thing, the fans from these schools that do not have the coaches right now or a lame duck coach, don't tell me if he nodded his head toward them, they would roll out the biggest roll of red carpet there was, four states long, to get him into their school. And you know it's true, Faxon. I mean, the dude and his personality is what it's always been. You know, it can be abrasive and just, oh, please. But it's him.
Yeah.
And, you know, whether you hate him or like him, he's he's there. And that's what people want to see. Football, you know, it's got enough bad stuff, and he's had his share of that. But be honest, he has done nothing up there but win, make football fun, and bring them relevancy.
I think, you know, I think that your perspective is refreshing, Michelle. And if you do want to go down memory lane, Lane Kiffin has won 10-plus games, three straight seasons in Oxford. If you want to go to the last time they've won 10 games in a season, it was 2015 with Hugh Freeze. Then you have to go back to 2003 under Cutcliffe. And the last time prior to that that they won 10-plus games in a season was 1971, which is before my parents were born, under Billy Kennard. So he matched the amount of 10-win seasons.
In
three straight years.
Back-to-back years.
Yes, ma'am.
You're exactly right. So people need to acknowledge that. I mean, quit acting like that this is some horrible thing. No. He did his job, and he's left for another job. And I really don't think it was about the money. They would have raised whatever they said to match it. But it's a football town, football school. He's going there. He's taking his family there. All right, guys, good job. Thanks for listening, and I really appreciate your show because you let people debate in a good way, you know, and I really appreciate that.
Yes, ma'am.
Have a good day.
Thank you for calling in. Call back in more often, Michelle. You're welcome anytime. And, yeah, while I may not agree with the manner that Lane Kiffin conducted himself with on the way out the door, and while I don't think – I think we can all agree on this one thing. The timeline of these decisions need to change for coaches going forward, and there needs to be a scenario in which you can get to the end of the season without having to make difficult portal decisions and staff decisions, etc. I think that we can all kind of reach common ground from that perspective.
So you know the way we do this? And boy, this is going to make people really happy. The only way to make the calendar actually work is if we completely remove these football programs from academics. Because we have the semester model, and we have to get these kids in school for the next semester.
That is true.
So, and that's the easiest way to get the calendar fixed and to stop all these decisions and all this nonsense happening is if we remove athletic departments from academics.
Yeah.
That's, and I know that's what everybody wants, right? It's a very broken system, but you don't have to rub people's nose in it on the way out the door.
Michelle is right by saying that Lane Kiffin has elevated that program to a relevance that they, and a consistent relevance that they have not seen in ages. I think she's 100% on the money when she says that. It also still does create a frustrating dynamic and kind of complexion out the door with what the timeline looks like, that he's not able to necessarily see the fruits of his labor by coaching them in the playoff. And while, you know, some people would say, well, the administration should have let him coach, I disagree. And that's when it creates a different conversation of whether he should have gone or whether he should have stayed. But Michelle's commentary on the topic is 100% correct from an objective standpoint. Lane Kiffin has taken this program to heights that it's never reached, and he deserves an immense amount of credit to do that, which is why I would give LSU an A or an A-plus for their hire. I think they made a fantastic hire. It's just... it's an unfortunate reality that we've stumbled into with the timeline and the decision that's made, where Ole Miss is getting the short end of the stick to some certain extent or perspective with their coach not being able to coach the remainder of the season and taking another job. On that note, let's get Maria and Anderson in here. Maria, appreciate the phone call as always. It's good to hear from you.
Yes, good to hear y'all. And I agree with Jason and Michelle on everything they said. And way to go, Tigers. And Lane Kiffin, this kind of reminds me of when we hired Brad Scott at Clemson. I could not stand the man when we hired him. And he kind of grew on me. So it just brings me back to the old days.
Yeah. I know what you mean with that, and it's a weird situation with Lane where the timeline is cloudy and there's, you know, obviously some sour feelings going on the way out the door that are maybe mutual, maybe not. Lane did seem genuinely empathetic, but again, he made the decision that he made, and he knew the repercussions that came with that decision, and then he kind of played the victim and waved the victim card in that press conference that he gave with Marty Smith, or interview, rather, I should say. So it's weird, Maria. I can see both sides of the coin in the situation. I just wish things had transpired differently. From a selfish college football fan perspective, I wanted to see Lane and Trinidad Chambliss in the college football playoff. That team's been a treat to watch all season, and now we might not get either of them at the helm of the program for Ole Miss. So it's just, it's fascinating times we live in, Maria. Absolutely fascinating.
Yep, go Tigers.
Appreciate you, Maria. Thanks for getting in, as always. 654-ROAR is the number.
Well, don't worry, folks. For those of you who are out there worrying about, well, what's Lane Kiffin going to do by passing up all the incentives he could have gotten as the coach of Ole Miss in the college football playoff, no, it's cool. LSU's going to go ahead and pay him his postseason bonuses he was going to get at Ole Miss. So if Ole Miss wins the college football playoff, LSU's going to cut a check to Lane Kiffin for $1 million for the work that Ole Miss did without him in the college football playoff.
I don't even know how to wrap my head around this. I can't believe he did it, to be honest with you. I can't believe he did it. And maybe I should have my hand up with a red nose and say that I'm the clown that fell for it again award with Lane Kiffin. I kind of bought into some of the documentary stuff, John. I kind of bought into some of the change. I thought he was going to stay entrenched at Oxford. Like, gun to head, I would have said he stays at Ole Miss. So maybe that makes me a dummy, and maybe that has me with the egg on the face, but I'm still trying to process this in real time. We haven't had that long since the decision's been made, and I'm not happy with the way that things transpired. I can't blame Lane for making the decision. I just thought if there was ever somewhere to stay entrenched, like a texter got in, and let me try and navigate this text, they would have built a statue of this guy.
Well, here's the thing, and Michelle brought it up in her call. Well, you know, guys, why would he stay when he can go to a football school? Well, I don't know. It was all the same people who about 15 years ago were just completely perplexed and dumbfounded as to why Dabo Swinney wouldn't take the Auburn job 9 different times.
Yeah.
Or why he didn't go after the Florida job or insert job here.
There's a beauty in loyalty.
You can build stuff here. You can build stuff in college football. I guess if you don't hire Lane Kiffin, you can. I don't know how much building you can do with someone who rents instead of actually buys homes.
Oof. Like that.
Also, from what I understand, trying to build a monstrosity of a home in Oxford. That's got to be fun to get off your hands now.
Yeah. Let's get Paul and Ennery in here, 654-ROAR. Paul, good to hear from you.
Yeah, guys. You know, what gets me, didn't Mississippi know who they were getting when they hired this guy? I mean, you know, that's the thing. I blame it just as much on them as I do him. I mean, you know, when I was working, if one of my competitors or something offered me a lot more money, I believe I would have left too. I mean, I think it's, you know, they knew what they were getting with this guy. But, you know, that's just my two cents on it. But I'm getting a lot of Carolina friends. Well, the refs give it to you. First of all, that interception, it would have been, if it hadn't intercepted, it probably been about a 45-yard field goal. They probably would have missed. That's only points. You wasn't going to score no more the rest of the game. I mean, I'm getting tired of did the ref sack Sellers 5 times, held him to -2 yards, and turned the ball over 4 times? Did the refs do that? That's what I don't understand. You know, I don't. But I want to – can I say something right quick about Jason?
Yeah, sure. Get in with us.
Well, I was in Columbia last week, and I wish I could get him to call in on another show or your show tomorrow, explain – what he was talking to these guys in Columbia about Clemson's football program and Dabo Swinney. I don't know if he did it just to get in because he's a Clemson fan and think they may not took, but he was bashing Dabo Swinney and basically saying he didn't mind if we lost because maybe they somewhere down the road they'll get rid of Dabo. But I just want him to call because I love Jason. I mean, love to hear him. I mean, I just want him to explain that to the people in upstate what he was talking about Clemson football program. But anyway, guys, hey, I enjoy your show. Listen to you every day. Y'all have a great day.
Appreciate you, Paul. Yeah, thank you. I mean, I don't listen to Columbia Radio, so I can't attest to whether that was Jason or not. If Jason wants to defend himself, I don't really know. I can't speak to that. So that's got nothing to do with me. Tennessee Tiger and Bert are on the phone lines. I don't want to cut either of them off because I want to give them their time. So we're going to take a quick break here on the program. We got a ton of texts to get to as well. I see 660 gets in with a text. We'll get to this as well about some of the Ole Miss and some of the LSU stuff. It's a lot, man. It's a lot. And I don't know if there's a right and I don't know if there's a wrong. Listen, I understand it. Like, objectively speaking, better job, increased pay, increased resources, bigger stadium, better facilities, better athletic department, better location to recruit to, more accessible recruiting pipelines. All of that can be the truth. That doesn't mean I have to like the way he went out the door, and I don't respect quitting on your team before the end of the season. I'm sorry. Like a six-year culmination to a moment, and you have a chance to coach in that moment, and you elect to make a different decision, that just is something about that doesn't sit right with me. And that's my personal perspective. You don't have to disagree, or you don't have to agree. You can disagree. I really wish he would have seen it through to the end of the season, and that's kind of where I'm at on the situation. Quick break on the program. We're coming to Tennessee Tiger and Burt right after this.
Currently car shopping? State Credit Union now has auto loan rates as low as 4.25% APR. Plus, you'll have no car payment for up to 90 days, just in time for the holidays. Visit one of State Credit Union's 19 full-service branches or their website, scscu.com, and apply online for your new car loan today. That's scscu.com. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing lender, federally insured by the NCUA.
When friends and family are coming over to your place for the next big game, everything has to be right. So when your comfort and reputation are on the line, don't leave it to chance. Bring in the experts in the bold white and blue trucks. Visit acehomeco.com for all your plumbing, HVAC, and electrical needs.
For over 10 years, CompX National has trusted Industrial Motor Service to keep their operation running strong.
We've always had excellent service, whether purchasing new motors or having ours repaired. Doug and his crew are a great asset, keeping our equipment running.
When your business depends on reliable motors and fast repairs, count on the team trusted by industry pros for decades, Industrial Motor Service. Visit industrialmotorservice.com to learn more. Industrial Motor Service, keeping your business moving.
Elevate your golf cart experience with Golf Cart Service, proudly serving Spartanburg and the upstate of South Carolina. Whether you need rentals, leases, or access to our extensive club car inventory, we've got you covered for both fun and business. Our mobile service truck ensures hassle-free maintenance right at your location. Visit our website, golfcartsc.com, or call 864-574-4616 to discover easy financing options and more. Golf Cart Service, simplifying your ride with convenience and expertise.
Is your crawl space damp or musty? Water in your crawl space can cause wood to rot and creates an environment for mold and mildew that can make its way inside your home. Canty Foundation Specialist specializes in crawl space repair. Call us today for your free inspection so you can have the peace of mind knowing your crawl space is dry and your home is protected. Call today, 864-641-0176, or visit cantycanfixit.com.
Twin Peaks is the best in the game. Here, the ultimate lunch lineup boasts wall-to-wall sports and scenic views. When you're hungry and in a hurry, the Scratch Kitchen delivers lunch in the clutch. I mean, where else can you order a 29-degree draft beer and a quickie combo on your lunch break? Only at Twin Peaks, the number one sports bar.
Twin Peaks Scratch Kitchen scores every time. Dig into hand-smashed burgers, chef-inspired flatbreads, and more at your local Lodge.
Looking for a scent that transforms your space? Line up your day with Buff City Soap's hand-poured candles and seasonal scents that you know and love. Made with plant-based soy wax and phthalate-free fragrances, Buff City Soap candles fill your home with long-lasting, clean-burning scent, never overwhelming, always unforgettable. From cozy and calm to bold and fresh, there's a Buff scent for every mood, and they make great gifts. Shop Buff City Soap today in Seneca at Hartwell Village or the shops at Green Ridge in Greenville.
Hey Tiger fans, I'm Morgan Coleman, proud Clemson soccer alum and upstate native. I may have hung up my cleats, but now spend my time assisting buyers and sellers in the Greenville, South Carolina area. My goal is to provide my clients peace of mind during one of the most important decisions of their life. It's important to have early conversations with a trusted realtor to help navigate the current market. If you are considering buying or selling, let's chat. Call me at 864-313-7639 or search Morgan Coleman Real Estate online to get started.
When you shop for the holidays with AMPM Farms Butchery and Market, you're supporting real folks who care about what ends up on your plate. AMPM Farms Butchery and Market brings together the best of the Carolinas with a farm-to-table spirit, offering fresh, restaurant-quality cuts you'll feel proud to serve. Around here, good food starts with good people. Raised right, prepared right, and shared with love. Good food, good neighbors, great holidays. AMPM Farms Butchery and Market, your local farm-to-table butcher.
Everyone knows that Low Country Male is the best place to go for low testosterone and ED treatments. Did you know they also offer NAD, BPC, peptides, and GLP-1 programs? The best thing about Low Country Male is it's a one-stop shop to get your testosterone up. Our concierge plans start at just $220 a month and include testosterone, lab work, physicals, unlimited doctor visits, and much, much more. We've been making men men again since 2016. 8 locations in South Carolina and Savannah. LowCountryMale.com.
Live and local sports talk coming to you from the Upcountry Fiber Studios.
This is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar.
Serving the five counties of the South Carolina Upstate, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays from all of us here at The Roar.
105.5 and 97.5 FM.
We welcome you back in, everybody. Facts on Sports with Facts and Childress and John Hite continues right here on 105.5, 97.5, The Roar. 654-ROAR is the number. Before we take a couple phone calls, did y'all see on Saturday why I said 87 should have been getting the ball all year? Because, buddy, that looks like a game changer to me. You talk about Bentancur and Logan Brooking next year, and even including OPH and Sapp in that, if both of those guys elect to stay. Clemson's going to have one of the best tight end rooms in America headed into next season if they can retain those four guys. Bentancur with the career-high 5 grabs for 51 yards on 6 targets. T.J. Moore went 6 for 101, as he reminded some fans of post-game. Antonio Williams went 7 for 66. Cole Turner, shout-out to Cole Turner. All the Cole Turner fans, 3 grabs for 27 yards. It was a great collective effort from this offense on Saturday down in Columbia. But, yeah, I felt validated, to be honest with you. When you make Bentancur a staple and when you make a concerted effort to get the ball over the middle of the field to the tight end, good things are going to happen, and it's going to open up avenues for others in this offense to succeed. So I banged the drum for 2 years now, annoyingly. I'm sure some people just roll their eyes when I talk about this kid, but I'm telling you, man, he's going to be the best to ever play here when it's all said and done at this position if they just play him and give him the ball. They need to play him, and they need to give him the ball. I'm hoping for some big-time Bentancur usage in the bowl game this upcoming. I don't even know when it's going to be in the next couple weeks. Hoping for the Gasparilla Bowl, maybe. I know a couple people have gotten in and texted. I don't know where Clemson's going in the bowl game. And if I did, I wouldn't tell you. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens. That much is for certain. Let's get Tennessee Tiger in here. Then we're going to Bert. Then we're going to Ethan. Then we're going to Scott. 654 Roar, if you want to check in. Good to hear from you, as always, Tennessee Tiger. Hope your weekend was good.
It was. Thank you. Good morning. The talk about from that team in Columbia talking about this, that, and the other in the game and the referees. You can watch a game like the Ohio State-Michigan game. If they played that game, all 12 games of the year, Ohio State would win the game. It's the same for Saturday. I called last week and told Mickey, I said, the two keys for me are going to be, is Clemson going to get over the bad third down conversions like they had against Louisville, 1-13? And I want to see the tight end in there. When I called this program, you know, you told me that the tight end is just not in Riley's game plan, but he put the tight end in there enough.
Yep.
And it made a difference. But I thought when Dabo was facing, he had a timeout, when he punted instead of going for it on third down, and then that pinned him down in there. I was told that the other coaches talked Dabo out of that he was going to go for it. And I thought that the coach that decided that he had to go for it under pressure on third down, but that was the right decision to make because, of course, we know what it resulted in.
Yeah.
But last year, In last year's game, there were two people that should not have been on the sideline. One was Sammy Brown in the fourth quarter, and the other one was Wes Goodwin. And that made the difference. You know, the defense would have won this game anyway. You know, so
I will say this, Tennessee Tiger, and it's not just this is going to come across as I'm defending Wes. They gave up 10 points in 58 and a half minutes last year against South Carolina, and it wasn't perfect, and Sammy Brown should have been on the field. But I think that Wes Goodwin's career here is going to age better than people realize the further removed we get from it. Was the run defense atrocious last year in the way that the season ended? Yes. Was Sammy Brown not being on the field the reason you lost to South Carolina? Yes. But ultimately, you gave up 17 points last year, and if your offense could have executed down the stretch, you would have won the game regardless. So I get it, and I understand what the frustration looks like. My message to you and other Tiger fans would be, you just won the game 365 years later. There's no need to harp on a loss that happened over a year ago, and Wes Goodwin can't hurt you anymore. He's in Norman.
I agree with that, too, but what I'm saying is the cliche that, coaches, good coaches realize is you got to play your best players. So that's where I'm coming from.
Yes. Yes. All. And a part of that is playing 87 on offense, which I think we are in agreement with. The tight end needs to be used more. 87 is your best tight end. That's been blatantly apparent since week one, game one, and he needs the ball, Tennessee Tiger.
And as a lot of callers and I said last week about the trick plays, there weren't any trick plays when Dabo decided to go for 2 points, of course. That wasn't a trick play. It was just if we get down there and we have to have, inside the 10-yard line, that was just a play that he was saving, that Garrett was saving, and it worked. You know, just like Texas coach, if you saw that game,
yeah,
he called a play one time in the game down there inside the five on a tight end sweep, and nobody realized that he had the ball at all. You know,
yeah, so, for sure. Tennessee okay. Tiger, appreciate the phone call. Thanks for getting in. 654-ROAR is the number. Texter gets in and says, one big thing was using 87 and the other tight ends to pull instead of the guards and the tackles and motioning the tight ends into block. Ding, ding, ding. Texter 983 wins the award of the day. Yeah, that's... Listen, I've been critical of GR. I've praised GR when I think it's fair. One thing has become blatantly apparent the last couple of years. The guards that they have on this team are not good at pulling. So when you see that, you have to create and invent other ways to either run those same schematics with different profile players and different position players, or scrap it and do something that your players are capable of doing physically. And I cannot give Garrett Riley enough credit for the game plan this past Saturday in Columbia. I thought it was one of his best coach games as the Clemson offensive coordinator. I thought he did a really good job establishing that balance. And I thought he did a couple unique schematic things to get guys in positions to succeed, such as what Texter 983 is talking about. Let's get Bert and Simpsonville in here. Bert, appreciate the phone call as always. Hope you had a good weekend, man.
Well, I think I ate too much again, as usual. But as a Gamecock fan, I'm not going to sit here and talk about the officiating because I don't think that cost us the game. I'll give you a microcosm of our season, and I think you guys know where it was. Despite everything that was going on, we were still hanging around. It was 20-14. We started running the ball a little bit, making a little bit of headway. And it's sitting there 3rd-and-3, and I'm thinking to myself, don't pull a Mike Shula and do something stupid. You know, we've been running the ball pretty well. So what we try to go with a bomb down the sideline to Harbor, which had no chance. And then on 4th down, when we rolled left and tried to throw the pass, and Woodass knocked it down. And I said, we learned nothing. Now, I'm not saying we would have gone down and scored or either would have made a difference. But when you were finally running the ball a little bit and had it 3rd-and-3, my theory is get the 1st down and then see what happens. But I thought Woodass played a terrific game, especially when I thought Sellers had gotten around the corner and was going to take off, and he got him by the legs and tackled him there. But Clemson was a better team Saturday, and I have no problem admitting that, and I just want to give them congratulations.
Yes, that is. We appreciate it, Bert. And to be honest, I think it's been a disappointing year for both schools. Obviously, somebody had to go out there and get the win on Saturday. And I agree with you from the perspective of there were some officiating calls that were missed that definitely benefited Clemson. But ultimately, I do believe that Clemson was the better team in totality. And I always appreciate your objective commentary. I think we both can take kind of the emotion out of it and just take a step back. And I always really appreciate when you call in and we get a chance to discuss. Before we let you go, Bert, who do you want as the new OC? see for your Gamecocks? Because that's going to be one of the biggest storylines nationally in college football this offseason is, does Lenore Sellers stay? And if so, who is that offensive coordinator going to be? Because you got to nail that hire.
Well, I think, first of all, we got to get an offensive line because it doesn't matter who your OC is if you can't block anybody.
That's a good point.
I mean, and I honestly think, I think Sellers will stay because I think he and his brother are starting to get a pretty good rapport. You know, his little brother actually came on pretty well at the end of the season. But, you know, again, I could be wrong on that. As far as the offensive coordinator is concerned, I don't really know. I mean, who you have to choose from. There's been so many coaching changes this year. But to me, it starts with the offensive line, because if you don't have an offensive line, it don't matter who your play caller is. I mean, 46 sacks this year. I'm surprised Sellers didn't have a broken leg by the end of the season as bad as that offensive line was.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it plays out.
You got to keep them upright, Bert. That's much, whoever's playing QB next year in Columbia, you got to keep them upright, and that starts with an infrastructure up front. Bert, we appreciate your phone call. Get in later this week, man. Always enjoy chatting with you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'll talk to y'all guys later.
Thank you, Bert. I hope Bert and his family had a good Thanksgiving. I also ate a lot. I ate a little bit too much as well, so I think I was a victim. Were you a victim of that too, John?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's an American tradition to eat way too much on Thanksgiving and then the day after, and then certainly ate way too much fried chicken on Saturday, but, you know, that comes with the territory.
Texter gets in and says something not being talked about is the wrinkle of Cade being under center. Saw some good runs off of that. You might be onto something, 519. You might be onto something, 519. I just, yeah, there was a lot of creativity and a lot of new wrinkles thrown into the game plan against South Carolina. I think he kept them on your toes. I think Cade did a better job of identifying coverages in the pre-snap, and I think he looked like he had a true command of the offense. Not to say he was perfect. Missed some throws early, and the interception was really bad, but yeah. Yeah, for sure. Texter says Benson Kerr was coming on the short motion to the middle and smashing people as the lead blocker in the run game. Love seeing it. He and Randall punished the defense. Yeah, like, again, I hope you guys realize that I wasn't just, like, banging the drum to be annoying to play 12 personnel and to get two tight ends on the field. I think if you have 87 out there with 11, being Benton Kerr and OPH, and you're using one of those guys as your lead blocker and one of those guys as relief in the short passing game, that is the ideal situation that I want for this Clemson team. And again, the under center incorporation, when you have a back like Adam Randall, who is so good between the tackles, line your quarterback up under center, put two tight ends on the field and tell them to block and run the ball. It is what we have been asking for all year. You stayed consistent with it. It worked, and you won the game. Ethan in Salt Lake now up. Ethan, good to hear from you, man. Hope Utah's treating you well.
Yo, John, facts. Yeah, it snowed here finally, so we're ready for ski season out here. And also, Utah keeps winning.
They do.
But what's hard, man, it's so fun to win, but what's been challenging is the last two games against the state of Kansas has had like 1,000 yards, literally 1,000 yeah. yards of offense against our defense. What's going on, man?
I have no idea. Sorry, choked up a little bit here. I have no idea, to be honest with you, Ethan. The defensive effort's been really disappointing from this Ute squad in the last couple of weeks, and I don't know. I've watched the game. I've watched the tape back. A defensive line that looked dominant at one point this season. I know there's been some injury issues on both sides of the ball, but the D-line's not getting the push that they were to be disruptive in the run game that they were at the beginning of the year against, let's say, an Arizona State. You remember back in that Arizona State game where they couldn't get anything on the ground? It looks like a completely different Utah football team right now defensively. So even against BYU, I thought you did a pretty good job defensively, and that one was more on the fact that you couldn't get to 25 points to win the game. But it goes without saying that winning is important, and Utah has, I hope, done enough to potentially be considered for a college football playoff bid. I'd love to see Whittingham and Dampier and the guys get in. You know I like your school. You know I like your program. But I worry about the last 2 weeks' defensive effort creating a committee recency bias against your defense, to be completely honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I saw Utah's defense against Texas Tech. And, you know, for three quarters, we were hanging in there with one of the most high-powered offenses in the country. It's just disappeared. I guess one bright side is we did have three interceptions against Kansas. And, you know, again, had another great fourth quarter. But, yeah, we'll see how it all shapes out and comes out in the wash at the end of the year. I'm hopeful that we can sneak in there with some chaos, but probably not.
Yeah, I'm hoping you can sneak in as well. You know, I really respect Coach Whittingham. I really like what he's done at that program, and I think he deserves more credit than he's gotten for kind of elevating that program, obviously, with the whole Urban Meyer stuff way back in the day. But yeah, right now, the PFSN, College FPM, gives Utah a 4% chance of making the playoff. The Vegas odds don't look great, but again, Ethan, chaos can happen on championship game Saturday, and we don't know what's in store the rest of the way. So let's root for chaos, and let's root for the Utes. At least you closed it out with two big fat W's at the end of the season.
Absolutely. And I'll get off on this last note about the whole Lane thing. Lane only cares about one thing, and it's Lane. And it's just, you could see it coming a mile away. I mean, the best predictor of the future is the past, and we have plenty of past points as a reference. The Clemson program is in such great hands with Dabo, and that's one thing I hope this morning that the Clemson fan base really appreciates, is you're not worrying about Dabo, cheating to win national championships like Michigan. You're not worried about Dabo dating a 24-year-old girl, and having her ruin the program. All these things, we can kick back and relax and know that it's in good hands, and we're going to get back to the top. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate you, Ethan. Thanks for getting in. We're getting Scott in Clemson and Matt in Montana in on the other side of a quick break. 654 Roar is the number. We also have to talk NFL. I have some crow to eat, but not really. I mean, I knew the Eagles stunk a month ago, so we'll give Chad his flowers for a pathetic Eagles performance. And Bryce Young is literally either Tom Brady or the worst quarterback you've ever seen. We'll unpack the Panthers beating their second one seed of the month as well right after a quick break here on the program.
Holiday shopping time is running out, so give a gift that actually gets used. Odyssey Vehicle Outfitters, home of Rhino Linings of Greenville, has gift certificates ready for the ladies and the men on your list. From spray-on bedliners and protective coatings to lift kits, wheels, lighting, racks, steps, and custom accessories. And they can upgrade their ride any way they want, whether they work hard, play hard, or hit the trails every weekend. This is the gift they'll remember long after the holidays are over. Don't wait. Grab holiday gift certificates now at odysseyvehicleoutfitters.com and wrap up something Rhino tough.
Royal Flush Toilet Rentals. If you want to potty like a rock star, you can with us. At Royal Flush Toilet Rentals, we offer construction porta potty rentals, septic tank pumping, and luxury toilet trailers. Call 864-238-8800. We have 2-stall, 3-stall, and 4-stall trailers for your corporate events, wedding parties, and special occasions. Call 864-238-8800. Royal Flush Toilet Rentals.
I'm a donut nut, I'm a donut nut, I'm a nut for Krispy Kreme.
I'm Glenn Reese with Krispy Kreme Donuts in Anderson and Spartanburg. We're open 7 days a week. Pick up some delicious donuts and a cup of coffee. Share a box or two at your business meeting, at church, or with family and friends during a time of need. Call Spartanburg and Anderson Krispy Kremes.
I'm a donut nut, I'm a donut nut, I'm a nut for Krispy Kreme.
For an outstanding 11 years running, Diamonds and Gold Direct has been named Anderson's best jewelry store. From a vast selection of engagement rings to their designer collection, Diamonds and Gold Direct has earned their place as Anderson's best. So stop in and see what makes Diamonds and Gold Direct your favorite jeweler. Diamonds and Gold Direct, Anderson's best jewelry store, 11 years in a row, Main Street, across from the mall.
Diamonds and Gold Direct, we're your diamond source.
Upstate Cycling Greenville is celebrating 46 years in business. Come check out our kids' ATVs and dirt bikes. We also have bikes for riders who are still kids at heart, ranging from entry level all the way to off-road racing, dual sport, and adventure riding. We carry brands like Beta, Cove, SSR, and many more. Delivery is available, and don't forget to ask about layaway plan. Mention the Roar FM to receive $50 off our best price. Call 864-232-7223 for more info today.
This Wednesday night, the Clemson Tigers are on the road heading down to Tuscaloosa, Alabama to take on the Alabama Crimson Tide. This being part of the ACC-SEC Challenge and a rematch of an elite matchup just a few years ago, Clemson looks to make a statement with a win. Broadcast begins at 6:45 with 7:15 being the tip-off. Catch it all right here on the Clemson Athletic Network.
We are 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar, where every day is game day.
Only minutes from the interstate at Exit 1, inviting golfers from Oconee.
Anderson, Pickens, and Greenville counties, as well as nearby Atlanta, Chickasaw Point and Overlook Restaurant await you. Chickasaw Point Golf is a hills course, and Overlook Restaurant is a beautiful event venue. Available to host meetings, weddings, anniversaries, and birthdays, a natural, beautiful trip through nature the way golf was meant to be. Discover what others have, the great golfing you'll find at Chickasaw Point.
Premier Portable Buildings and Trailers are right in your backyard. Looking to gain space in your home, a shed is a great way to make room. And if you need to transport your gear, we have a trailer to meet your needs. With two locations to serve you, Sheds of Spartanburg and Sheds of Welford. Visit shedsofspartanburg.com or shedsofwelford.com, where you can view our entire inventory of sheds and trailers. Call today, 864-652-1660, or visit 1470 Boiling Springs Road, Spartanburg, or 321 Spartanburg Highway, Welford today.
You're listening to Facts on Sports with Faxon and John. Now let's get back to the show.
It's the final segment of the program here on a Monday with Faxon Childress and John Hyde on 105.5, 97.5 The Roar. We're going to Scott in Clemson, then Matt in Montana. We'll wrap it with some NFL talk here before we get out the door because I got some crow to eat to some of our audience members. Scott, good to hear from you. Appreciate you checking in, man.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well, man. It's a great day to be a Tiger here on a Monday, I'll tell you that much.
It's a fantastic day to be a Tiger. I just got a question. I heard you earlier say that Lane Kiffin was taking most of his offensive staff. Does that mean they're gone already?
Yeah, Charlie Weiss was on the plane. So his offensive coordinator is with him in Baton Rouge, is my understanding right now.
Strength coach, receivers coach. There are several coaches that are already in Baton Rouge.
Okay, well, then it stands to reason then Ole Miss is probably dropping out of the playoffs, right? That's what they did to Florida State.
That is what they did to Florida State with their quarterback. That's a good point, Scott. I think that Ole Miss is a lock to go to the playoff, but I am interested to see if their seeding is altered and if they're penalized because their coaching staff has now been gutted for the most part. So I this is one of the most unique situations I can remember in all of my time watching and covering college football, and I'm really just fascinated to see how it plays out.
I'm interested to see what they say about it because all they said was, it was all about, you know, it was all about that quarterback, and they didn't, you know, they got to have that quarterback. It didn't matter that they were undefeated or lost the game, whatever it was for Florida State that year. I mean, don't you have to use the same logic now?
you would think, Scott, but the committee is shady, man, and they walked the line of subjectivity better than just about anybody I've ever seen. But yeah, I think that's an interesting conversation. If Trinidad Chambliss does come out and indeed enter the transfer portal or express intentions to follow Lane Kiffin to LSU, which I think is very likely at this juncture, then by your logic, wouldn't they have to use that logic, John, then, that they used against Jordan Travis? I think that's a really interesting point you bring up, Scott.
Yes, the one issue, though, is asking for logic to be applied with the College Football Playoff Committee, and consistent logic at that.
Yeah.
Well, I think if they do, I think you just prove SEC bias at that point, don't you?
Yes. I mean, I think that's probably fair to assume, but we already all kind of know that exists, and the SEC is going to trump all when it comes to the College Football Playoff and the committee making decisions. I mean, they're going to jam back as many SEC teams in there like sardines, and the dream scenario might come true for the SEC truthers, because if Duke wins the ACC championship game, the ACC is going to have zero bids.
Well, you know, you make your bed, you lie in it. I just feel like, you know, if you set a precedent, you better start following through. Because that's what I was screaming years ago. If you're going to tell a team that because they lost their quarterback that they can't be in the playoffs, even though their record deserves it, well, you better, if you do for one, you better do for all.
Yeah, that is more than fair. Hey, Scott, call back in more often, brother. It was a pleasure chatting with you this morning. We appreciate you getting in.
Thanks, man.
Appreciate you. 654 Roar is the number. Yeah, I mean, Scott's bringing some valid points to the table. Texter says missing a coach and a quarterback are not the same. I agree with that. In this scenario, though, for Ole Miss, based on what I'm hearing, it could be both. Could. Emphasis on could. I still think Trinidad Chambliss has a decision to make from that front, but Lane Kiffin is tweeting the Trinidad emoji with a tiger this morning. Like, it is crazy how quick all this is moving. Matt in Montana is up next. Matt, how's Montana treating you, man? That's on my bucket list. I got to get out there one day.
Yeah, it's a terrible place. Nobody should ever come here.
I get what you're getting at, brother. Appreciate you getting in.
Yeah, I just want to say it's a great day to be a Tiger. Great win this weekend. Always good to beat the Cox and let them know they're a little brother. I just was curious. You said that Clemson had some calls go their way. What calls did you think went Clemson's way with the refs?
I thought that the pick by Ricardo Jones was probably a drop. I didn't think anything other than that was overly controversial that benefited the Tigers. Yeah, that's a great point. The first one that Ricardo Jones caught, I thought that he dropped it. But again, I don't think that impacted who won the game because South Carolina would have kicked a field goal. They've had massive issues with kicking all year. There's no guarantee they would have made it. And even if they made it, it would have cut it to a three-point deficit. And Clemson ended up winning by 14. So I think that it's fair to say that from the alternate angle they showed on the field, it probably hit the ground, but again, I don't think that impacted who won the game or lost the game, and I was clearly rooting for Clemson.
Yeah, I think that he had control the whole way. I mean, it definitely hit the ground, but the ball wasn't bobbling around, so...
That is true. It did look like he maintained possession, and that's where you get into the what's a catch versus what's not a catch, and that always just makes my mind boggle, to be honest with you. I've kind of given up on understanding the rule. It looked from one angle like he maintained possession. There was another angle that was shown where it was like maybe there was a little bit of movement, but ultimately Clemson was the better team. They proved that for 60 minutes, and they deserved to win the game. So if you took my commentary as anything other than that, that's my fault for framing it poorly. Thank you for checking in, Matt. RJ Tiger gets in here. RJ, good to hear from you.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Long-time listener. Don't call very often. In fact, it's been a number of years. But I couldn't help but call you this morning. The season analysis. First of all, let me back up a little bit. I do have a little bit of credibility on Clemson football. I've seen 515 games in person.
Jeez. That's awesome, RJ.
26 consecutive bowl games and CFP games, all 11 CFP games. 42 of the last 43 bowl games. The only one I missed since 77 was the humanitarian, and my employer wouldn't let me off to go to that one. But anyway, concerning the season, I think a little bit too much might be being made of the disappointment overall. Sure, we were all looking forward to top five CFP glory at the end of the year. But if you look at it realistically, and I know, I mean, as I said, I've seen a lot of football games can go either way based on one or two plays. But take the five losses. I mean, we were one play away from a tie game, possibly going to overtime against LSU with 4 minutes to play. Lost by 7. Georgia Tech should have gone to overtime. I'm sorry. Poor coaching at the end allowed them to kick the field goal. All we had to do was just run a couple substitutions on the field. They had no timeouts. The clock would have expired.
Yep.
And you get a shot at them in overtime. Syracuse, that was a nightmare. Nobody can explain that one. SMU, we play them with a backup quarterback who played very well, but he had no significant prior experience, and you go into a game against a strong opponent with an inexperienced quarterback. The Duke game was stolen by an ACC back judge.
That's where I would push back a little bit, RJ. I would say that your offense had the ball in plus territory, up 7 with 6 minutes left, and then you punted them down to the 5, and they had to take it 90-something yards to even get to the opportunity to make that call. So I would push back there and say, was it a bad call in my opinion? Yeah, but you also had every opportunity to make that call not impact the winner and the loser of the game. So I would push back a little bit there.
Absolutely. Agree with you 100%. But the bottom line is there was no defensive pass interference. He made a bad call for whatever reason, and it determined the winner of the game, period.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair to an extent. So are you getting at that Clemson was just a couple of plays away in a lot of these games? Is that like the bottom line here?
Well, Louisville game easily could have been a loss, so let's be fair. I guess what I'm saying is, but for a couple of plays one way or another, this team could be 10-2. They could be 11-1. They're 7-5 for a reason. Now, I get to my question. Is there any inside insight to potential bowl destinations that we haven't seen in the other media? Because, as I said, I've been to 26 in a row, and I don't expect to miss number 27. You got any ideas?
I don't have any idea right now. I'm going to throw a couple at the board. I would say maybe Fenway, Pinstripe, Gasparilla, Mayo. Those would be the four that I would keep your eyes on, but that's just my opinion and my speculation. I know the Sun Bowl would probably round out the five there for me. So I would say Sun Bowl, Gasparilla Bowl, Mayo Bowl, Pinstripe Bowl, and Fenway Bowl would be the five that I would say are most likely, RJ. We got to let you run because we're right towards the end of the program here.
Is there any opportunity to hear of something definitive before Sunday?
In all honesty, I have no idea what the timeline looks like on that, RJ. I have no clue.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate you. Thanks for getting in. 26 straight years. That's impressive. That is impressive for sure from RJ. RJ, call back in more often. We appreciate your history and what you provided to the program. Yeah, John, anything else to add on that before we do a little mini NFL before we get out of here?
Mini NFL. I don't really want to talk about it.
Yeah.
But you know what? You get to have your moment in the metrics right now. You get to tell everybody what happened on Friday.
The Eagles need to fire their coach or go into a rebuild. And I understand that that's going to sound like Eagles fans that are listening to the show are going to be like, I 100% agree, and the writing has been on the wall for a while. Everybody else is going to be like, you're 8-4 and sound like a brat. Okay, I don't care. I'm going to have a little bit of a moment here. This team is fraudulent and has reeked of fraudulence since the start of the season. You are paying a limited quarterback $55 million who cannot elevate the players around him and cannot perform outside of a top 10 offensive line structure. Your run game has regressed infinitely from one year to the next, in large part because your head coach handpicked a play caller so he could tamper within the offense in a very similar way to what he did in 2023 where you collapsed, and in 2021 where he almost got himself fired. This is not a very good football team right now, and it becomes more and more evident by the weekly and weekly basis that they roll the ball out and lose and underperform because they're not very good at playing football. With that being said, Chad, congratulations. I would kill for Ben Johnson as my coach. That's my main takeaway here. You gashed us on the ground because your run concepts and run scheme is unbelievable. If I'm a Lions fan, I'm sitting here with all of their discourse online this week saying we kept the wrong coach. And yeah, you know what? You're probably right, because even though the Eagles won the Super Bowl last year, I still think we kept the wrong coach between Nick Sirianni and Shane Steichen back in 2022. So I empathize with you from that perspective, Lions fans, but the Eagles need something new. This is not working. You can't just do the same thing over and over again, run the same passing patterns, run the same route concepts, run the same scheme over and over again, have zero production, and expect for it to not work. And for people that are like, oh, well, you're 8-4 and you're still leading the division, cool. The goal is to win the Super Bowl. And I've been saying for 2 months that you cannot win the Super Bowl as currently constructed, and I have not wavered in that perspective for exact reasons that are showcased on my television every weekend. So I'm at the apathy stage with the Eagles, to be honest with you. This team can't win the Super Bowl. I've known that for 2 months. Something needs to change. Sirianni said that the play caller isn't going to change. Okay, well, you're going to get yourself fired if the play caller isn't going to change, because Lurie is not going to play this offseason, and you're going to go find a new coach. So I think you're going to have a new coach sooner rather than later in Philadelphia, and you need somebody that can baby your quarterback because he's not good enough.
With 2 minutes left of the program, would you rather make fun of the Falcons, or would you like to give the Panthers credit?
I would like to give the Panthers credit. Bryce Young, thank you. Thank you, GOAT. We needed that one. Bryce Young FC needed that
one. Thank you, what?
That's Michael Jordan in cleats, as far as I'm concerned, every other game.
I'm sorry. I'm cutting the microphone off for 5 seconds, calling Bryce Young Michael Jordan in cleats. You've officially lost your mind. 3, 2, 1. Welcome back to the show, Faxon.
So Dabo can say it about Deshaun, but I can't say it satirically about Bryce Young? What?
Yes, absolutely.
I can't
absolutely
steal the Dabo quote. I was just trying to give Dabo some love.
Not here. Not in this context.
In all seriousness, on Bryce Young, this gear to his game exists. We've seen this multiple times throughout the course of his career. My most important question for Bryce is the same thing that I said after his previous great performance against the Falcons. It's not the moment. It's the moment after the moment. It is the moment after the moment with Bryce Young. We know that this player is in there. We have seen it enough to know that he is in there. They have taken down two of the best teams in football from the number one seed in the NFC within 1 month. Packers are the number one seed. They go into Lambeau and take them down. Rams are the number one seed. They take them down. This is where Bryce Young has floundered repeatedly throughout the course of his career. It is the game after the game. You just beat the best team in football. You had one of the best performances of your career, best passer rating of your career, third and fourth down touchdown throws, arguably the clutchest game of your career. Now you play the awful tanking Saints on the road, and this is usually where it comes crashing and burning. Bryce, please, if you want to be the guy and you want to get paid, the Saints game is more important than the Rams game you just won. Consistency, consistency, consistency. But shout out to this Panthers team. And if you guys tailed me on the win total, enjoy your cash 4 games before the season is over. And they are still very lively in this division, given the Bucs injury issues. John, anything to add before we get out of here?
Tiger Hour with Brad Brownell starts tonight, 8 p.m.
Man. Tiger Hour with Brad Brownell. Nothing's better. Nothing is better than some Brad Brownell here on a Monday. John, great job on the program as always. Hope everybody enjoyed their weekend. We're back tomorrow at 9 a.m. as always. Sam Jones, Ben Milstead up next with Out of Bounds. Thank you, guys.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson, WAH.